I wasn't ready.
Yeah, we're gonna do it again.
I was anyway. Legend of Zelda is out. How do you guys like it?
It's very good.
Yes. Welcome to episode 337? Question mark. Zelda came out 4 days ago, I think now, right? We've all been
living in a post Zelda Tears of the Kingdom world. It's now out. It's like the second coming of Jesus, basically.
Not according to Twitch chat. If you only read chat for everyone playing Zelda, you'd think it's the worst game ever made. It is legitimately nothing but complaining about the game from Twitch viewers.
Why?
On every
single... what?
Because the game's too popular, so they have to complain about, like, every single thing that they think is wrong with it. It's just complete fucking nonsense.
See,
the only real complaints...
Yeah.
The only real complaints that have merit are 30 FPS and it looks like shit because it's on the Switch, like the graphics. But the art direction helps carry
it.
I
don't think it looks like shit. Yeah, it's still like the art direction makes the game look good to me.
Oh, the art direction. I love even if you put this game on a modern console, unlike the PlayStation, I would still like this art direction. I don't want like a modern.
Oh, well,
just Elden Ring. Just go play Elden Ring if you want that. I like this art style, the lighthearted, cartoony shit. But
I will agree with
FPS
Twitch
chat. Also,
Yeah, I will agree with Twitch chat on that. Like, I would much prefer this game be running on solid hardware. I know we've beaten the Switch to death at this point, but yeah, it really does show its age, and the frame rate is not great.
Oh yeah,
in Tears of the Kingdom for me,
the amount of frame drops I get when I'm trying to like use a fused weapon or a long like bunch of fused shit is crazy.
Yeah, it's very annoying. But like, it's a testament to the game's design that all those issues fade away and you just enjoy so much of the core game design, even with those issues.
Fade away, you mean you learn to ignore it, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And God help you incredible. If you climb a tree and the leaves go like transparent so you can see your character. That's when it dips the most for me for some reason, the frame rate. But it's not been that bad, I guess. Maybe I'm developing Stockholm Syndrome. I'm trying to find excuses to defend the game, but it's just so much fun.
Well, it's not like it's any worse than all the other games releasing as well. It's probably still in a better position than most AAA games that release on other consoles in terms of performance anyway. So
yeah,
that's not a good excuse. I'd rather they all release it with rock solid 30 frames or 60 frames, depending on hardware, but still... Yeah, it's
but Charlie
fine.
Also, this is why Jackson and I don't play these types of games on stream. We just want to be in our zone without people nagging us, I guess. I've been enjoying this game so much. I don't think I've binged a game like this since the last one.
I think this is just
beyond 5 hours.
Yeah, this is literally just a better Breath of the Wild, and Breath of the Wild was already amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was more mid on Breath of the Wild. Like, I could understand why people liked it, but it didn't click for me, really. I didn't even finish it. But Tears of the Kingdom has hooked me, and I don't know what it did differently other than creating a more robust, like, sandbox that's more interactable, that's immediately engageable. But, Tears of the Kingdom is just, like, it does feel like a way better Breath of the Wild. Everything that Breath of the Wild kind of like failed at is still kind of there. Like, I still don't love the combat in the game. It doesn't like necessarily click with me, but everything else that's good about Breath of the Wild is here, but even better, basically. Like, the world feels so
alive.
I like
the combat. I just hate the weapons breaking on you after you'll like kill
two
monsters
a core
and
element.
Your weapon just explodes. I know.
That is a core element of the combat. So if you don't like that, then you've got issues with the combat.
It just feels
very
blue-balling.
I'm fine with the weapon durability being in the game. It kind of makes sense for like the sandbox, but it is tuned to be so aggressive that it's very annoying at times when you can't hit things more than like 3 times before the weapon explodes. It's quite annoying. But the best thing about this game, I'm sure we've all seen it, are just the raw amount of memes and videos that have come out based around the Ultra Hand ability. Just the amount of interesting things people have cooked up. It's made me laugh on so many different occasions. Like, me and Kai have been sending them to each other back and forth, really. There was one video where, like, someone crucified a Korok and dragged him around the Hyrule world with religious music in the background. It made me laugh so hard.
I think we all did. That's like the default go-to that you think of when you see like two sticks in a Korok and you realize, oh wait, I can stick this thing to stuff. I hate those Koroks. I hate those missions.
Same. Those little fuckers deserve it. Yeah,
it's so annoying. Great. I get separated from my friend. Fucking die. It's so annoying to... At this point, I just manually carry them over because it's just not worth the hassle trying to come up with some device to shoot them off a mountain or whatever.
That is a much more tedious way of doing it. You can just not ultra hand them.
I know what you mean, but I think there was one where it took me like half an hour to get the balance right. I think it was in the snow region, the Rito place, where you had to like fly one across a chasm to his friend. Yeah. And I just got so annoyed with that little fucker. And you need them. You need them to get the two Korok seeds because that's what expands your inventory. And you need the inventory space because you run out of weapons constantly mid-combat because they break after two shots. Yeah. It's too aggressive.
It is too aggressive.
My solution for durability was the only thing that breaks are fused weapons. That's the only thing with durability. And then you could just have like a normal catalog of weapons that don't break like every other open world hack and slash kind of game.
Or make it repairable or something. Yeah. Or use the Minecraft formula system, where you can repair it anytime you want. But also if you die at the wrong place at the wrong time, you lose it forever. I would settle for that. Right now it's... You know how when you find a really fun weapon, you're supposed to feel some joy? To me, that just feels bitter because I go, oh, this is a really sweet weapon. Oh, but it's going to break in 2 hits, so I guess I don't get to use it.
Yeah, well,
I
should just keep it in my inventory. You get attached to the weapons that you use, really, when they all break so quickly.
Or feel like using them.
Yeah. I legitimately, like, never use my weapons. Like, right now, I'm hoarding so many fucking weapons. It's pathetic, actually. It makes me upset.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says you can repair the weapons in chats, but I haven't seen that.
It's tedious. You use an Octo Rock, you feed it to an Octo Rock.
Oh, well, they had that in the first game too. Yeah, I remember that. That is tedious. Yeah, that's not like something that will... Again, you can do that, but then when you're on a mission in a cave somewhere and you hit a monster twice, it's going to explode anyway. And it's so frustrating, especially when you're in the middle of a combo. Like if you're swinging around the big meat cleaver type weapons, the two-handed... And you're doing the charged attack where Link turns into a Beyblade, basically. It's like so satisfying to watch that, but then in the middle of your fucking charge attack, it just explodes in your face.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck, and it doesn't even like auto select the next best weapon at least or something. You're just standing there with your hands empty, and Link looks at his hands like, what do I do now? Like, I don't know, punch at least. They could have at least given you like a melee attack. He just stands there.
Yeah, I find it happens with bows a lot. When a bow breaks, I'm sat there, like, clicking the right trigger, trying to figure out why the fuck I'm not shooting
any arrows.
The controls
are already, like, way too overcomplicated for somebody like me. And I still, 4 days later, I still find myself going, shoot, 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 why aren't you shooting? Oh, my bow's broken. Damn it. Bow button, up, or, like, left arrow, right arrow, whichever is the one to select the bow, select that, and then you have to select your arrow, and then you have to fuse it, and then you have to shoot. It's just too much.
We did the thing again. We said we love this game, and now we've talked 10 minutes about the things we don't like.
Well, the game itself is awesome, obviously. It just, like I said, I'm not a big game person. I think this is the first game that I, like, kept playing.
This is the first game I've ever, like, in 7 years, 8 years of knowing you, Kai, this is the only game I think we've ever actually talked about.
That I've been excited for, yeah. I mean, I finish games on stream, like, if I play one of those, Quantum Dreams or whatever, those goofy story games, I'll finish those and I have fun with, like, Life is Strange, but on my own time, I would never play those, or at least not play them past, like, a couple of hours. This, I think I almost 100% at the last one. Wow. Breath of the Wild. I couldn't find all of the fucking Koroks.
And you did that without the incentive of achievements?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about achievements. The fun part about that was just the shrines. I really, really enjoyed the shrines.
Yeah.
Which is another small little hitch in this one that annoyed me. In the starter region, they like trick you into going into all these tutorial shrines. Like I'll go in there like, oh, sweet, a shrine. You know that feeling when you find a new shrine and you're like excited for the puzzle that awaits you?
Yeah.
And then you go in and it's like, oh, here's how you move forward. Here's how you take your shield out. And the text is so slow.
Yeah, I know, the text is so slow.
Because you need the spirit orb. Yeah, that's frustrating. But yeah, I love the shrines. I love the exploration. I love all of it. I'm one of those guys who also maxes out his stamina before getting any hearts.
Same.
So I can do the maximum amount of climbing and exploration. And flying.
The quickest I can get to the point where I can just like keep jumping up a cliff side without running out of stamina. That's my focus.
Essential.
I do not want a slow climb. But everything one-shots me now because I don't have as many hearts as I should. Like, literally one-shots me. Like, normal mobs in the world.
Yeah, same.
Me too.
I'm playing on ultra hard.
My entire playthrough, every single mob kills me in a single shot, even at full health.
At the same time, this does feel a little easier, though, without spoilers. How do I even explain this without spoilers? So in the last game, you would solve the temples. I think they were called the Great Beasts or something. The Divine Beasts. And then you would get the champion powers. Like, you had a shield, and then Link could create an upward gust of air. In this game, it's pretty much the same, except you get those as, like, ghost companions.
Yeah.
Like, the champions actually join you. I'm not going to tell you what their powers are, but you just run around with, like, a ghost gang.
Yeah.
They just beat up mobs for you. So you can sometimes engage entire gangs of mobs and just kind of run around while they beat them up for you. Which is cool, but also, I don't know, sometimes makes it too easy. Sometimes it also gets annoying because they get in your way.
Yeah.
While you're trying to pick something up or use an
ability. If I've got like four of the ghost dudes around me, it gets pretty hard to see because they're all like fighting in the like middle of the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just dismissed a few that I don't enjoy. That's about...
Yeah, it took me a minute to figure out how to dismiss them too, because you have to actually go into the inventory and select their item and dismiss. It's not convenient.
All right, let's be really positive for a second. What's your favorite part of the game, each of you?
I trust the exploration, just the new stuff.
The freedom to make crazy shit.
Yeah.
The freedom to build crazy shit. Initially, I was very skeptical. I even told Jax, like, the controls for this seem a little overcomplicated. Like, I'm rotating that. What is this, Blender? I'm building 3D shit now? This seems excessive. But I'm over that now.
It's so good.
It's a lot of fun now. Yeah,
it is
strapping
so
rockets
good.
To shit.
The freedom to engage with the puzzles on your own kind of level of creativity is just... It's so different than how, like, other games do things that it's incredible. Like, you can really tackle problems in any way that you can come up with. And that feeling is so fucking rewarding. Yeah.
Other video games allow you to cheese it.
Yeah, yeah. And they allow for that. They incentivize it almost. They're like, here's a problem. Do whatever you want to overcome it. Whereas other games are like, here's a problem. We have one or two ways to tackle this problem that you're
even
forced
in the shrines,
to do, basically.
Some of the shrines, they give you one item that you have to use to solve the puzzle, but in other shrines, they give you just a bunch of fucking shit. They just give you a bunch of, what is it, Zonite items? They're just going to figure it out, I guess. Build something that works, idiot.
My favorite part of the game is the shrines goatsy you when you enter them. I love that. That's going to be intended.
So I'm not the only one who saw goatsy.
It
absolutely just does look like a gaping ass.
The little shrine is spreading its arsehole. It's like got hands right in front of it as well. It's great.
Yeah.
Nintendo's done it again.
Rumors leading up to the release were kind of misleading because everybody said, oh, it's the same map. It's going to be the same map. They're reusing the same map. And I was actually getting bummed out. Like, really? The same map? But what turns out, actually, there's a shit ton of Sky Islands. And also there is now the Nether Realm. The Minecraft Nethers, as you can enter them, which is, I think, straight up ripped off from the Skyrim caves. But I dig it. It's a lot of fun to fly around down there, which is huge. I think it's as big as the surface.
Overworld, yeah.
As well.
I haven't really touched the underworld
the sky,
yet.
Oh, it's great, but it's kind of dangerous. It just feels like Minecraft, honestly.
I feel like I'm at the lunch tables at a middle school. Oh, it's really cool, but it's scary down there. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah, can you come over after school, Kyra, and show me in person?
Yeah, I can enter the cheat code. It's ABABABABB.
Andrew,
I've been having like childlike fun. Yeah,
Andrew, you haven't spoken in 15 minutes. I fear we've put you into a Zelda coma.
Yeah, because I haven't played it yet.
Are you excited? Yeah, has all of this made you excited to finally play it?
Oh, I took my headphones off. I don't want to be spoiled.
Oh, really? Well, there was no
spoiler. Yeah, I'm dead serious. Your fingers out. Yeah.
This is kind of a spoiler.
Oh, I didn't hear anything you guys said, so it's totally fine.
I don't know what there would be to spoil. Like,
well, the locations.
Spoilers.
I don't think people knew about the second element of where you can go before release. That was a surprise to people.
Mm. It's fine. I just don't have anything to say because I haven't played it yet. That's all.
That's fair. But yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot.
Why are you waiting? I just haven't. What?
Why are you waiting to play it?
I have not been home in like 4 days.
Well, it's on a Switch. You can play it in the air. You can play it on a plane.
True, but Mother's Day weekend was this weekend, and I've been spending time with my mom.
You should have played it with her. She takes one Joy-Con, you take the other.
She's a hardcore gamer, that's right. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to play it very soon. I just haven't sat down and played games in a while yet, so it's what I'm going to be doing next time I fire up a game.
That's good. But
I've just had a lot of stuff I've had to do instead.
We unanimously love it, so you better as well. It can I'm excited.
I'm definitely excited. Like, I'm super invested. I just don't have anything to contribute because I have not actually played it yet, and I haven't been watching any footage because I knew I was going to play it.
It might be the first game that we unanimously agree is like a masterpiece, the four of us.
Well, I have to hate it then.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, can you counterbalance us?
Mm-hmm. I'll go in with a really negative attitude to try to, you know, tip the scales back to balance.
Okay, that's good.
I think we pointed out the only negatives, right? It was the FPS and some of the, like, minor, just the durability thing is so frustrating, but that's about it.
Yeah.
The exploration.
I would recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the... Jackson called it Japanese-isms, I guess. I don't know if that's
what Jackson called, said that. Well, hang on a minute. Well, now I can join this discussion. Jackson, what is a Japanese-ism?
No, like a Japanese game design holdover kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, when the text like lasts 10 seconds on screen and you cannot skip it, and it's so frustrating, you just have to sit there and stare at it, telling you stuff that you already know, tutorial-wise and such. Or like the fact that when you beat the temples, it gives you the same exact cutscene.
Yeah.
Except narrated from a different character.
And they take like so 10 lazy. Minutes. They take 10 minutes of something you've seen three times already.
Oh, I just skipped
those.
Yeah, so once I realized you can.
That's not the intended experience.
Here's where I can jump in relation on this. A game that I have been kind of revisiting in the past, maybe the idea of this type of game has been building up in my head, but Elden Ring has been on my radar again. I've been watching some new speedruns, some new tech, new challenge runs, etc. Would you say so far this game rivals Elden Ring?
Rivals for sure.
I like it way better.
Okay.
I like Elden Ring more, but I think it can at least be in the same conversation as something like Elden Ring.
Because it's how impressive.
I just think Elden Ring obviously has better combat. It's designed to be a combat game foremost, difficulty included. Whereas Tears of the Kingdom, entirely freedom based, like that sense of creativity, and that's what I more appreciate. So I'm going to lean towards Zelda personally.
So what I've seen,
me too, by far.
That's what I've you're seen, a bubble very blown double baby.
Just getting onto the chasms.
A very little of what I've seen from looking at the stuff like memes on Twitter and garbage is you can create stuff, put stuff together. There's a lot of tools, a lot of variety in how you tackle things. But with Elden Ring, it's not so much variety in how you tackle things. It's variety in how you play. Like you change your build, your style of, you know, doing damage, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm wondering what creates a more immersive experience, what will be heralded as the better game in years to come.
What do you mean immersive? I mean, Zelda's just much more fun because you get to build whatever you want. You can kill any boss however you want. That's the fun to me, is...
Well, yeah.
I mean, Jackson sent me this one video of somebody using the time reversal skill to beat up a giant boss with, like, a tree stump and two rocks that look like a dildo. It's just fun to experiment with shit like that. Whereas in Elden Ring, I guess you just have to memorize the attack pattern. And that's about all it is. I don't know. I like this much more. It's lighthearted, fun, so much exploration, so much shit you can do with like the combination of elements and items.
I think one thing though that Elden Ring, will always also be able to laud over other games is the PvP and the fact that not only do you have that entire gigantic, in-depth, well-designed world, but you have a whole PvP aspect as well with all these different builds and combos and things you can do with it.
We'll just wait till the next Zelda game that introduces the Colosseum.
I think that'd be amazing.
I think that'd be horrible. Zelda combat is as simple as it gets. That'd be the worst PvP ever.
Well, yeah. I think it'd be pretty cool if you're constructing like robots and giant killer penises if you had a robot arena in the game.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be fucking awesome. I would like co-op just one-on-one battle Zelda.
Would be really lame because it would just be two people slapping each other with exploding weapons for an hour.
Yeah, the greatest gameplay I can think of right now in the world is if you hop online to the Zelda robot arena and you built a robotic penis and you randomly find a player who built a robotic vagina and it just works out perfectly.
That would be cool. I mean, awesome. That's the magic of Hyrule.
That's the legend of Zelda right there.
They should have like a racing mode where you build your own carts and shit.
Like the Red Bull Soapbox Racing Annual.
That'd be like Dragon Kart from Yakuza. Link does appear in Mario Kart 8. You're not that far off. Just add some DLC.
Oh, yeah. They do have his little horse cart, horse bike in there.
Does the game let you sign up for ExpressVPN while you're playing it, though?
It's the only thing holding it back that it doesn't actually.
This game could have been a 10, but I'm going to drop it down to a 7 because it doesn't let you use ExpressVPN. Well, let me tell you all about ExpressVPN, folks, because it'll work on your internet connected devices. And to listen to this show and to listen to the three men complain about how a video game, I don't know, is too much fun, the inverse of that, you probably needed the internet. And to get on here, many of you out there listening probably needed a VPN. Now, we try not to region lock our content. We try very, very hard to make sure that every person on every corner of the planet is able to listen to this show. But that is just not the case when it comes to all content. There are certain streaming services, certain internet providers who just say, nah, you don't get to look at that. That website? No. This show, regional license, that's not going to happen. Oh, what's that? You want to look at this thing and it's not available in your country? That's never going to happen. Sorry, champ, but with ExpressVPN, you can be from almost any country. Wink. You can also make sure that your information is encrypted. So that way, ad companies cannot target you and use your data. They also will not sell it to all the tech giants and create this infinite feedback loop of destroying privacy. It's just a good idea in this day and age to browse the internet with ExpressVPN. Works on phones, laptops, even your router, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi will automatically be protected. All you gotta do is open up the app and click a button. You also just have to go to expressvpn.com/official to get an extra 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/official for extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/official. And now that you have finally made the pilgrimage to safe, comfortable, unrestricted internet, and you maybe even use that internet from your router to connect to the servers for Tears of the Kingdom, you could build yourself in that video game. And trust me, I talked to Shigeru Miyamoto himself. He said this is possible. You can build a Harry's Razor. But if you do, you have to make sure that you only select the finest materials, and you have to make sure that it's German engineered and that you get all 5 blades. Because if you get the starter set at Harry's, which is a $13 value that you can get for just $3, by the way, you're going to get a 5-blade German engineered razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. And replacement blades are going to be as low as $2. Harry's not only has the highest customer satisfaction in the entire shaving industry, but they'll offer you a no-risk trial. If you don't like it, send it back. Let them pay for it. Don't worry about it. Shave your face and go, oh, I'm so ready to return this. And then you look in the mirror and go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's a fantastic shit. Never mind. I'll take two travel packs, please. Because that was amazing. And that travel starter set is going to be just $13 if you're not listening to the show. But just for you, you handsome viewers at home, for $3, you can get that starter set by going to harrys.com/official. Get the starter set for $3 at harrys.com/official. Save the hassle, set up your delivery, and get the best quality shave with Harry's.
Nice. Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, are we done gushing about Zelda? You guys got everything out that you need to get out? All right, before we end, what would you rate it out of 100?
I'm not spoiling the moist meter, you sick fuck.
Tricky bitch. I tried to get it out of you.
Zero.
Oh, nice. Zero being the highest, of course.
Zero being does not apply. Yeah, it didn't make my cut because I can't legally review it yet.
Okay, they got the Andrew stamp of approval. That's good.
The stamp of it's a game. It qualifies as a video game. That's about it.
I'd give it an 85 or a 90. Probably a 90. What about you, Kaya?
75.
Like, what the fuck?
That was a lot harsher than I expected that to be.
Kaya hasn't played a video game in 30 years, and he loves this one to death, and he's like, 75%. C-minus, it's fine.
The issues are still issues, and I think game developers should be punished for them. Like, I struggle a lot with the camera. It annoys me a lot. Because this game, for some reason, it does the like, you know how in other games when an object is obscuring you, the object kind of turns transparent so you can see your character? This does the opposite. For some reason, it just hides Link. So during boss battles, I keep losing Link because intermittently he will just not be on screen for me, and it just really annoys me. It's that, and it's the FPS drops sometimes, so I have to cut some score points. Sorry.
All right, yeah, that's fine. What would you rate Worms? Just so we can compare.
I mean, Armageddon in its current state?
Yeah. No. The best Worms game you've ever played. What's it rated?
Well, that's Armageddon. I don't know. It's ancient, though. That's not really fair. It's not even under development anymore.
Well, review it at the time of release.
Then. Yeah, I wasn't even alive at the time of release. It was like 1997. It was like 6 or 8.
Your best experience with Worms Armageddon throughout your life compared to your current experience with Zelda.
Yeah.
Oh, 100. Oh, I mean, my best experience was just playing a shit-faced with my friend group, so that's not even a fair comparison. I mean, Zelda single player and everything.
Zelda loses a whole 25 points because you can't get drunk and play with your friends.
That would be cool if you could, though.
Yeah, co-op would actually be cool.
I still want the BattleBot arena. Nintendo, take notes. I want little constructs duking it out like BattleBots.
They have the ghost companions. Instead of that, maybe you could let my friends join your game, right? Just hot seat them and just let them into
the sandbox would be so fun for like co-op, like genuinely.
I know, if you could do it together.
Do you remember, I don't know what they've changed in the new game, but do you remember how there was a half-baked, I guess it is companions, but there was a half-baked like companion system? For example, if you had the Wolf Link amiibo, you could have Wolf Link follow you around in Breath of the Wild. Did you guys ever do that or see that?
I've never touched amiibos at all.
I've never touched an amiibo in my life.
I have touched amiibo. I have all of them, but your amiibos only ever give you items, not the actual amiibos, Jackson.
No. In Breath of the Wild, if you use Wolf Link, the Wolf Link and Midna amiibo, it creates a little companion wolf that follows you around. Yeah, that's a thing. It's like a half-baked feature they never finished. So Wolf Link shows up in the game, and he's got full animations, he makes noises, he's got 3 hearts for health, he can die, you can respawn him, he attacks enemies, he finds items, he does all this stuff. But if you do that, there's a tooltip that pops up in the loading screens, and it says, Wolf Link comes to you from another dimension, and because of that, other characters cannot see or interact with him, and he will pretend they don't exist. And it's them trying to explain, we never programmed him to actually be in the game, we just threw him in there, so he's not going to interact with anything.
No, he's from a different dimension, Andrew.
Yeah.
That is the actual canon reason. But Nintendo tried. But, yeah. They wanted to give him interactions, but the dimensions wouldn't allow it.
I'm not seeing Wolf Link among them, so I used an NFC emulator to just...
Oh, okay, that makes way more sense. I thought you actually bought all the Amiibos, like a Turbo Redditor. I was like, really?
Yes, Jackson, no. That sounds like me.
No, that's what I meant. That's super concerning.
You just hop on eBay and you buy the card. People make cards of Amiibos for like $2 each. You can just get whatever you want.
You don't even have to do that. Just download them onto your phone. I think every modern Android and iPhone nowadays can emulate NFCs. And then you just go on the internet and you can... I'm not going to give you piracy guides, but you get the point.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
You don't have Nintendo. To buy Amiibos.
What Kaya is saying is you go to Nintendo.com/Amiibo/detail/WolfLinkAmiibo and you purchase it as it's released and available in stores and you pay full price.
Better buy multiple just to be safe.
Yeah. It's an Amiibo. Wolf Link with Midna on its back. And it makes a little wolf in the game who's just kind of there.
That's better than what all the other Amiibos do, because all the other Amiibos is I have some of those cards too, Andrew, and you look at it and it's like 8-bit Link, and then you hold it onto your controller and just gives you a bunch of like it gives you a chest with arrows.
Yeah, rains fruit, right? Or like swords or depending on the Amiibo. Yeah.
Yeah, or fish, that sort of stuff. It just gives you free items. It's really, really, really lame.
Has there ever been a truly competent or worthwhile use of Amiibo in a game yet?
I've never touched an Amiibo. So
the only one I can think of that's kind of interesting is how you can have a Smash Brothers character who levels up as you use it. But even then, that's... okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never touched an Amiibo.
You don't have to use it yourself, but just like looking up what they do and what people do with it.
I'm more of a Funko Pop guy, Andrew.
You're a GameStop fan, then.
Doesn't it give you furniture and
Animal Crossing?
What was that fucking For some reason, I wanted to say Event Horizon, and then I started thinking about that movie. I don't know. I've also never used them really. It's also kind of cheating. It doesn't feel satisfying to use an Amiibo and get like 27 fish raining on you.
Yeah, it breaks my immersion when you like factor in all the dimensional breaking that Wolf Link brings with him. I'd prefer to just stay in one dimension.
Okay, final question. Do you guys think it's worth $70?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wish it wasn't 70.
Yeah, because I already bought it, so it better be.
I don't care about the $70 increase unless, like, the games are that bad where they shouldn't be $60 in the first place. Like, $70 feels like it's fine for video games to move to for me because of, like, inflation and
shit. Well, if the quality improves with it, but, I mean, this is 30 FPS. Like, it didn't need to be 70. It's not like they did any kind of crazy new jumps or leaps.
30 FPS at best.
Yeah, at best, yeah.
On a good day.
Yeah.
70, the increase would be fine. The increase would be fine if the quality also went up with the price.
But, like, the price of bread has increased and it's the same quality.
What kind of comparison is that?
I'm saying inflation of products exists. Like, that's just a thing. I mean, yeah. For some reason, video games have avoided that entirely, whereas all other products, even in entertainment, do inflate.
Yeah. I mean, that's mostly because video games are a frivolous thing. You can't really tell people not to eat.
But, like, movie tickets have increased as well, stuff like that. Like, it does... Other forms of entertainment do cost more now. I don't understand how video games avoided it. For so long. It's been $60 since, like, forever, right? Since the 90s.
It's been $60 for a long time.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Maybe back in the 90s, it shouldn't have been $60 either.
So here's my thing. They avoided it, obviously, by adding copious amounts of like microtransactions and all that kind of shit. So what I'm fine with is a price increase for box games, but you can't have it both ways. You can't then include microtransactions as well. And Zelda doesn't have microtransactions, so that's why I think I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. Well, I mean, do Amiibos count as microtransactions?
So would you say that a game can be 70 without microtransactions or 60 with micro?
Oh, well, I would prefer free with microtransactions. If you, it's so fucking offensive to me that I pay $60 for a game and then it's loaded to the arse with content that was obviously meant to be in the game but is then cut to be sold piecemeal for microtransactions.
Like, yeah. That is like everything now. It has infected everything. Was it you, Jackson, that put like a link in our topics channel to Mercedes, I think?
Yes.
Paywalling speed of their engine in one of their modern cars.
Wasn't it heated seats they paywalled?
No, that it's too. Go fast, I think it's as well. Both.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's all
you can't, it's a symptom. You unlock turbo mode.
It's a symptom not only of the fucking game industry, but of the entire modern world. I'm so goddamn sick of everything being a subscription instead of just a thing you buy and own. Fucking, I just found this, like, I just was reminded of this again last night. Fucking Adobe. Like, I know we talked about them a lot. But last night, I was just having all these issues with my fucking Adobe subscription, which I only got because they're starting to crack down really, really hard again on illegal fucking copies, and I don't want to spend every 3 days getting a new one. And it's just like, why am I paying for this every year just for nothing? They're like, oh, your subscription gets you an additional 200 gigabytes of storage in the Adobe Cloud. For $10 a month, I can get 2 terabytes on Google Drive. Like, it does nothing. Oh, God.
Yep. I didn't even... Okay, at this point, they're going to start adding features that I think might be worth the subscription, I guess, because they're partnering with NVIDIA to add a bunch of AI stuff.
Yeah, right.
But still, but eventually other products are going to get that. It's like, you know, DaVinci Resolve isn't going to be
They also already remove features that don't come with the legitimate. I don't know, like, if it's just a problem of whoever's taking it out. But if you get Premiere through certain non-scrupulous means, you cannot use GPU rendering. You can only render via CPU, and it's like, oh, we have to be connected to the Adobe Cloud to use GPU rendering. And it's like, well, that means render times are going to be 5 times as long if I don't. So I guess here's your money. Cool.
Well, you should be honored to support them.
Yeah, I should feel privileged, yeah, like a Marvel fan.
I'm still happy that I dropped them. I've never looked back. I remember bitching to you guys like 3 years ago about some payment dispute I had with them because they rejected my credit card, and then they refused to take my fucking money, and I canceled my subscription. They did, I mean. And at some point I just said fuck this, and I started looking for alternatives, and I've never looked back. Never used Adobe anything since then, not even their PDF like tools. Fuck that.
If it's a service, I understand a subscription. Like with streaming, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. You only get our access of our streaming library as long as you pay for it. I get it. I understand. But when it's a product, when it's a thing that you personally own, it makes no fucking sense. Like Mercedes makes no fucking sense. You own that car. If you buy that car, that is your car. They no longer can at any point be like, nope, give it back. It's ours now. So but why is there a subscription to raise the speed?
Isn't that what a car lease is?
Basically. If you lease it, I guess, but if you buy it. Yeah, but what if I buy the car?
But you've only bought it spec'd at 0 to like 80 miles per hour. You got to pay extra for those additional miles.
They're
going to
say they
you
technically
got the starter
own.
Model.
God, see, that's just, tell you that sounds like a fucking scam to me.
Of course it's a scam.
And you're just renting the horsepower.
Yeah, that's how they... rationalize it, not rationalize it, but like.
And then
it.
The question is, what? How long until everything is rented? Like with how digital distribution works, I feel like we can justify everything being called a rental and not owning
well,
it.
Well, yeah, it's
that's the direction we're going.
Absolutely, because it's a service. It's a form of monetization that directly benefits the people getting the money. Obviously, like they make way more money by renting. Or selling rentals or subscriptions than they would just by selling it.
I wanna, of course, dick ride Valve as I do once a month.
Okay, good.
I was reading not that long ago what Valve's plan is if Steam gets shut down. If one day Steam is just gone, like their servers are never turning back on, Valve is defunct, whatever. And everyone was like, well, we have to connect to the Steam server to play our games. What do we do? And Valve has explicitly said, you know, we can't reveal the details of our plan, but if that ever happens, we have processes in place to have you get full ownership of your games. Like, we will give it to you full offline, or
Gabe
however.
Gabe usurps the US government or something that like overcomes protection laws.
He's the president, yeah.
We can't talk about it, but we do have processes in place. Valve has,
we
like,
have
some
agents
military
in the
forehead.
Field working tirelessly. But even just them outright stating, look, if that comes to it, we'll figure out how to give you your product and have you own it, even if it's somewhat bullshit or who knows what'll happen, makes me feel better than every other company on the planet saying, nope, here's our license, we own it, and at any time, we'll just pull it away from you, fuck you.
I mean, Valve is pretty good, but isn't that still like an empty platitude unless they tell you exactly how they plan to make good on that?
Just tell us
a nice lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if they're just like,
"Businesses never lie to us at all."
even if they say, "Look, we haven't updated that since 2001, so we're going to send you CDs with all your games on them." That'd be fine. That'd be better than whatever the fuck else everyone else is doing.
But are they legally allowed to do that? I guess if you own it and they can prove it, then yeah.
Well, yeah, you own the game based on their TOS.
Well, wait, don't all games currently come with like a user service agreement thing that basically says that you're just renting it and that they can remove access to the game at any time?
Well, that's usually online games. That's game dependent. You know, if you buy an old game through Steam, you're not renting that game at all. But if you buy, that was the whole games as a service issue we talked about where, I'm blanking on his name, but that guy made that really incredible documentary on it where basically around the 360 and PS3 era, games started coming out with those user licenses and they were like, hey, by the way, at any point, we can just pull the plug on this thing and you can never play it again and we don't have to explain shit to you. And that's what a lot of old games are like. Old, not even just multiplayer games, but single player games that required a connection to a server, and that server is defunct, like Ubisoft and EA. They just take the server down and you can never play it. Battlefield Bad Company 2 is in the news right now because they're removing it. They're turning all the servers off and never turning them on again and not giving the players tools to run their own. So you will never be able to play that game online multiplayer ever again.
See, this is
part of their agreement.
This is why Worms gets 100%, because you can run your own server. And people just
join. Yeah, but there's
each
also
servers.
Other games you can do that in too, like Gears of War. Like the first Gears of War, it's all player hosted, so it's all peer to peer. Which I think is just like, I think every game needs dedicated servers, but there should also, of course, be an element where you can still do like a peer to peer host your own server kind of thing. So that way,
it should be an option. It should be an option. It's not optimal though, because then you're always going to have terrible connection consistency.
Not if it's the main form of connection.
Also, I think they put that boilerplate in any service now. We can revoke service at any point for any fucking reason. Your doctor can probably execute you at any point if he chooses. So it's probably somewhere in the documents you sign. They just put it.
It harkens back to that fucking dystopic nightmare where that article came out where it was like, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Who wants it? Who wants to live
people
in a world
making
where
the money.
You own nothing?
A lot of people want that, Andrew. A lot of people, they love the convenience. Do you think people stop even for a second to think like, wait, why do I have Google Drive automatically installed on my Android or Netflix? No, they love it. They go, I can put in my password and all of my shit is on my phone now. Awesome.
I know.
I love it.
It just takes a little bit of learning, just a small smidgen of computer literacy, and you can own and have everything you want.
I'd rather.
Did we talk about this, that like Zoomers apparently don't even know what a file system is anymore?
Yeah, we did a while back, but it's definitely a thing. if we do need a new topic, did we ever talk about it on the show? Charlie, did you watch The Whale?
Yeah, The Whale was great.
Did we ever talk about it on the show?
I watched it. I was bored.
You didn't like it? I watched it with my mom when I was hanging out with her, and I thought it was amazing.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah. It's so pretentious and boring. The major problem is that there isn't one, not a single character that is likable.
That's the entire point. That is the whole point of the movie.
Okay, but it's not fun. It's not entertaining to me. It's like, these are all assholes. Who am I supposed to root for? Fuck this movie.
Dude, I don't need to root for someone in entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
I thought it was a full masterpiece. I think the way every character was incredibly nuanced and never like morally good or bad. It was all ambiguous. I loved it. I Brendan Fraser is
also such a good actor. It was great. Yep. Like, he earned that Oscar. He did such a good fucking job in that movie.
Not only him, I think every single performance in that movie was how it needed to be.
Yeah.
It was, I could gush about that movie for the rest of the episode. Have you seen it, Jackson? It was fucking amazing.
You'd probably haven't. Yeah. I've been meaning to.
You haven't what?
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched it. I have such a long backlog of movies that I need to watch. Like, I haven't seen Everywhere All at Once or whatever it's called.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's next on my list.
Me neither.
That movie's amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies
Isn't that the one that stole the Oscar from The Whale for a lot of categories?
Well, it stole all the Oscars in general. It fucking went crazy.
Did it win Oscar of the Year? I mean, Movie of the Year.
Oscar of the Year. And the award for Best Award goes to...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it won Movie of the Year.
Picture, yeah.
Best Picture.
I also have to say, though, even though I didn't like the movie at all, Brendan Fraser is a really good actor. It was a fun time.
Yeah, he fucking kills it.
Maybe I'm also just not used to, like, seeing someone who's 600 pounds and not, like, it not being TLC. It was weird having it in a drama. And also, they do try to make you feel bad for him, but then you realize, oh, this fucker abandoned his family to go suck dick. Like, fuck every character in this. And then he has a mouthy bitch daughter who's just an asshole. His best friends, the Asian lady, is an asshole. The youth pastor? There's, like, four characters only, right? Or five.
There's the youth pastor and then the ex-wife, and that's every character in the movie.
Oh, and the the pizza delivery guy.
Oh, the delivery pizza guy. Yeah, but he's
5 seconds and runs away.
Yeah, he's just kind of there to just be there. Yeah,
he is, and I don't know why he runs away. Like, oh no, a fat person in America. Oh, so spooky. Never seen that before. Delivering pizza of all things. Like, okay, whatever.
That is genuinely a criticism I'll agree with. How a guy who's obviously delivering pizza to a shut-in sees him and goes, "Oh God, he was a shut-in the whole time."
Oh, yikes! He's so revolting.
I thought pizza only went to skinny people.
I thought he'd be rugged and handsome when he opened the door.
So, can you guys sell me on this movie? Like, what's the actual concept?
It is a movie about the balance of hope versus delusion and people who live their lives in a state of thinking what they're doing is right versus how other people perceive what they're doing.
That's not the takeaway I got from it. It was more it felt more like a very specific character journey about, like, one man's mistake coming, like one man makes a mistake. It's hard to talk about it without it being a spoiler for Jackson because of, like, the actual core component of, like, why it's big, but one man dealing with grief in a very unhealthy way and refusing to change no matter what, and eventually just trying to accept his fate and resign himself to the worst possible existence, feeling like it's something he deserves because of his past sins.
Is it like solely a character study of this one character?
It's not one character, but it felt like very much a one character.
He takes up the majority
narrative.
Of the screen time, yeah.
But I think the film's about more than that. I think the film is about how all of them are doing things that in their mind they justify as right, but then the other characters voice their opinions and views on it, and you get a different shaping of what they're doing.
Not really, because the daughter never tries to make herself seem all altruistic or anything like that.
Okay, Jackson, spoilers, because this is important. That's explicitly what happens in the movie, because Brendan Fraser reads her diary and sees what she's doing, and he goes, "Oh, she's such an angel. Oh, she's doing that to help people." And everyone else is like, "Oh, your daughter's a fucking monster." And that's the whole point of the film.
But that's not true, though, because she also posts all the Facebook things like, "Look at my fat fucking daddy. Such a fucking loser."
And then he says, "Oh, she's the only one who's being honest. She's the only one telling me what it is."
Yeah, but that's just his interpretation of it.
And that's the whole point of the film. They all have different interpretations of what everyone's doing.
Is he desperately on his daughter's side?
Remember, like, the pastor, when she's like, "Oh, recording his stuff and doing these terrible things," and he's like, she was trying to save me. She did that so I would go home and be forgiven. I appreciate it. Thank you. You saved my life." So to him, it was a good thing. To Brendan Fraser, it was a good thing.
Is the whale just entirely in denial about the people around him?
That's the debate of whether or not he truly believes what's happening, or if he's in denial of what's happening.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that ties into the ending, which I won't say anything.
Is the ending the he stops eating pizza and he loses like 600 pounds? Is that the after credit scene?
Yeah, he goes on a weight loss regimen and runs the treadmill, and that's the end of the movie.
Starts his keto diet for the first time.
He fights Wings of Redemption in the boxing ring. It's great.
Oh, God, that's so good. Ooh. Good tie-in.
Good segue.
Yeah. That was the topic I had after this
one.
So
who watched the fight versus who watched the 30 seconds that the whole fight lasted on Twitter?
That's the same thing.
When they found out.
That was a fight? I thought it was just a beating.
It was just a beating.
It was like actually so fucking sad. Oh my God. I'm just happy they both survived. I thought for sure there'd be some kind of like heart-related incident.
Of course Jordan survived. He didn't get touched.
Well, yeah. No, I just meant like even the exertion would have killed them.
Yeah, well, they were both cleared by medical staff.
Wings looked better than Boogie, who was beet red. Like super duper red, which, if you recall, he chalked up to his Native American heritage, and then people told him no, and then he admitted, yeah, okay, I have diabetes on all my blood vessels, and my face are bursting from all the pizza I eat. But he looked so red, getting punched in the face, but his whole body was red. He looked like a giant tomato. And
correct me if I'm wrong, though. And that's because his face was so red and beaten up because he not only just didn't fight back, he like barely blocked any punches.
No,
he just took them straight to the face.
His entire movement was like trying to push Wings away. Like he was just holding his hands out, trying to push him away, not actually blocking. Yeah. There was like nothing there.
From what I watched, it literally just looked like Boogie was punches. Just walking in circles as Wings took his sweet time punching Boogie in the face.
Using Boogie as a boxing bag, basically. Just like, repeatedly punching him. Every time Boogie would get punched, he'd like walk away and like mouth wow, like he couldn't believe that he got punched in a boxing match.
God, that was actually infuriating to see. Like, I don't know what he was expecting, but every time he gets punched, you can see him like open his mouth going, who?
It was such a
disappointment. Wow, I can't believe you actually punched me.
I was looking forward to this fight. I really had. Probably more than any other YouTuber boxing match ever. I just wanted to see a big goofy throwdown between two big round dummies. But this was not a fight. This was Wings finding a new punching bag and just getting in some reps. Landed zero punches
He threw zero punches. He actually like just held his arms out like he was trying to catch something that was falling. And the only thing he was
like
catching
was
knuckle sandwiches.
He wanted to catch his fist and be like, oh, you thought you could match my power and then start beating him.
It made me upset because like it seems like Boogie didn't even bother training was still surprised at the result.
Of course he didn't.
You guys,
it's Boogie.
He already said that he sunk so much money into his training that he's in the negative now. Where's that?
No, he did not.
Yeah, no shot.
There's no training there.
Oh, okay. Oh, I found the tweet Jackson put it here. So he tweeted, I'm sure, 10K cash plus sponsor deal. He's talking about how much money he made. 10K cash plus sponsor
deal. Yeah, by the way,
10K
is like super low, right? That seems
free travel
for something like that sounds low.
Depending on the sponsorships on top of it, that could be low or high. It depends on the other stuff around it.
I don't know.
Free travel and room to London. A few perks. Is this like London in the UK, or is this one of those Londons in America? One of the like 20 Londons you guys have?
Of course, it's the UK.
Yeah, it's the UK.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking because in America, you guys steal everybody's fucking city names for some reason. You have like Frankfurt, London, Paris.
Kaya's not wrong. There's Paris, Texas.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Anyway, after perks. A few perks we can't yet disclose. All the self-respect I've ever needed. After medical gear and training, I came out negative. I think in cash.
So how many days until Boogie puts out a tweet that says, you know, I think I didn't really throw a punch because I knew in my heart I didn't want to hurt him. And I just thought I really don't like violence and I didn't want to hurt him too bad. So I figured I'd block.
He was being a bad boy. He was talking about how he's mean mugging the security and such.
Boogie's a flip-flopper. He's a flipper-flopper. He changes his opinion every week.
He wants to look good, of course. Yes, he wants to look like
the
hero.
So everyone's going
to
start railing on him now, going, you didn't even fight, you didn't even train, you didn't do anything. He's like, you know, in my heart, I just didn't have it in me to hit him and want to do damage.
Here's what he said. He said, as soon as I got in the ring, I got punched once and then went into defense mode. And I'm like, no, you didn't. There was no defense there either. You just got hit repeatedly.
Also, I would like to point out that at some point, apparently his boxing shorts started falling down and they had to duct tape them.
They had to take like a 15-second break in the middle of a round. It was already like a short match. Like they were like shortened matches of three rounds at 1 minute each. They didn't last that. Well, Boogie didn't last that. It was like 1 45-second round and then a second like 10-second round before the ref was like, oh shit, I feel bad. We got to stop this.
He's turning this red.
On the fucking flip side, props to Wings of Redemption because
he took it seriously.
Yeah,
he really did.
It seriously. He went in, he did his job, he won the fight. Like, I have nothing goofy to say about him at all. Boogie with his fucking pants and getting his face fucking beaten and all his comments like, come on, man. But Wings came in and fought.
I don't know how much of that is on Wings or on Boogie just not putting up any kind of fight. Like, no, it's, I think fairly it's very easy to just slap someone around, right?
I think it's very clear Liquid Richard, like, actually trained. Like, he actually tried.
He might not have gotten super high skill or super really good, but he definitely had the basics. He had stance, he had punches. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely seems like he actually used that 10K for training, maybe.
Yeah, he tried. He gave a shit.
He also has something to fight for, right? Everybody has seen that famous clip of Wings like whimpering like a beat puppy because he didn't make enough money for his weight loss surgery. Boogie already had that, so he doesn't really have anything to gain. But Wings, with the money he made from this, he could get that surgery now if he hasn't. I want to see Wings go against Ethan Ralph now. I hope they make that happen.
Fuck, that'd be a crazy match.
Like, do you think Ethan would ever take training for boxing seriously enough to ever get any sort of routine in? Like,
he'd
would
probably
it ever
piss
happen?
Off his instructor and get his ass beat like again, and have to just keep cycling new
instructors.
Well,
the one thing I will give Ethan is like he can take a punch and just keep getting up. He just keeps getting up to get punched more, so he would never tap out like Boogie did. And I don't think even the ref would ever call it. Like, Ethan
did Boogie
just
tap out?
Punch sponge.
No, Boogie didn't, like, instruct him to. That's just, it's a boxing rule. He wasn't defending himself. He was just taking a lot of completely undefended blows. Yeah, just
I know, I'm just saying, like, the ref would look at Ralph getting up and up and up again and giving the middle finger and yelling, bitch, come at me, bitch. And he would just let him, okay, good. He's fine to fight, I guess.
Kaya, did you read the other tweet of Boogie? Another one in his nice little excuse repertoire where he said, the reason I was counted out is it was the second round, and by score, I could only win with a knockout. So the ref decided I just shouldn't even keep fighting anymore.
Yeah, that's not what it was at all. It was he wasn't defending himself, and he can't just keep taking undefended blows.
When he's getting that count out for that one, you can see he's pretty glassy-eyed. He's just kind of not really focused. You know, he's just kind of out of it.
He posted training videos beforehand. I don't know if he posted any with an actual person, but his form of training was just hitting a boxing bag every time he would walk by his TV, and that was his training. So I don't really know how serious he was taking it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I only saw a couple of the training montages, I guess. But did he have a trainer? Did someone teach him? Because I never saw any of that footage. Whereas
I
Liquid
only ever
Richard
saw him,
like
hit a dummy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He just had a dummy by a TV and he would just stand there punching it while filming it. I really doubt he did any training, though.
Purple in the chat has filled me in on Ethan Ralph replying to one of Boogie's tweets. He says, see, this is the kind of deal I would never do, LMFAO. Kima Straight robbing motherfuckers did the same to dumbass Abortsky. I would never take a fight to lose money. That's the exact opposite of how you are supposed to approach the business as a fighter. Kima's a crook. 10K.
That's more a Boogie. That's not on Kim.
Yeah. Don't take the deal then.
Those are fights to lose.
Negative afterwards.
Also, in that, was it in that tweet about the financial breakdowns where Boogie said another thing this cost me was all the self-respect I've ever earned?
No, he said he got self-respect. He said he earned self-respect.
Never mind. I thought he was saying that it cost him his self-respect.
Well, the fact that he stepped in there is still like an achievement. Like, you can be proud of that.
He didn't put up any fight. He stepped in there just to get beat.
No,
Everybody thought both were going to flake.
That is true.
Hang on. Hang on. The thing that could be self-respect is it doesn't matter how well he does. It's if he took the loss on the chin like he did the punches. If he went in there and got his ass beat and, like, after it was over said, oh, great fight, Wings. He did. You know, you trained harder than I did. But no, he did. And then he followed it up with, here's why I lost and here's how much it cost me and...
Well, the people, like, were asking about, like, how much it cost, to be fair. That he didn't just bring that up.
I'll give credit where credit is due. He did, like, they both didn't flake. I'll
true.
Give
that. Yeah. True. True.
But you could have put... people paid for this shit, and people were watching it. You could have put in a bit more effort to actually fight it.
He should have put effort into training. Like, I understand. Yeah. Mike Tyson's famous quote that everyone loves to toss around is very true. Everyone has a plan to get punched in the face. That is absolutely, undoubtedly the first time Boogie has ever been punched. So when that happened, he didn't know what to do anymore.
That is wild to me. Considering you're going into a boxing match, the first thing I would do is, like, say to a friend, hey, punch me with a thing on, so at least I know how it feels.
Like I said, I don't think he had a trainer. I don't think he had anyone teach him anything. He probably just watched, like, old boxing movies.
I don't think that's, like, anyone's first reaction to being punched for the first time. There's going, wow. And doing, like,
no, absolutely.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. That is absolutely how most people will respond to a punch. That's how I'd respond to a punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Have you ever suddenly been hit? Have you ever suddenly been hit in the head by something like a...
almost indignant, like, how dare you punch me?
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. I didn't mean it that way. I meant it more like once he got punched, like, he could no longer, you know, think for himself anymore. He just panicked.
No, I totally see that. Have you ever been hit suddenly in the head by something like a ball in, like, a gym or something, and your first instinct isn't pain? It's to go, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I get him going, wow.
This wasn't random. Again, this was, he should have been expecting a punch. It's a boxing match.
Yeah, it should have. It wasn't just a straight ball.
I can't believe you hit me.
I thought we were just going to dance around each other and hug it out.
It was a
whole event where he was told, you are going to get punched in the face now. 3, 2, 1, go, punch. And you know what?
He's still shocked, wow. Pikachu face. Yeah.
You know what I bet he thought going into this? I have no doubt. I bet he thought he was, like, straight up the main character. He'd go in there and just, like, overwhelm Liquid Richard with his offense that, like, he'd never even experience a punch. He'd be untouchable. He'd be, like, dodging it like rain.
I don't know.
Just do something. Like, stop pushing him away. Just, like, do the windmill. Like, spin your arms around in a circle. I don't know. Try to land one blow.
Yeah, I think the fact that he didn't even throw punches at, like, that would haunt me for the rest of my life.
There's no self-respect there.
Like, you did the hard, like, honestly, you did the hardest part of getting into the ring. All you needed to do was just get, like, one punch on the board, or at least an attempted punch. That's all. And it, the hardest everything part else would have been fine.
You are already getting punched. Might as well punch back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing to lose at this point.
You could, like, sumo wrestle it too, like, just, like, bounce it with your belly or something.
Just do anything. Like, if you didn't have the capability to throw a punch, just fucking charge him. Like, go out with, like, an illegal move or something, like, anything. Yeah.
Do,
like,
put up some kind of fight instead of saying wow.
Wow. That's awesome.
I'm happy it happened.
The memes a lot.
I do want it to happen again. And
me too.
Yeah.
Boogie actually put up a fight. I mean, I also would love him to not put up a fight again, because I think that would be double as funny. Like, he goes in less prepared somehow. Yeah, he does say he wants. He does say that he wants to do it again. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. He needs a trainer. Like, he absolutely needs a trainer. Like, God, please, just get a trainer.
Why would you not do that for this one? Why would you not? Like I said, why would you not just get a friend to punch you in the face so you know what it feels like, at least? Like, that's the first thing I would do if I was signing. I would do it before I said yes to signing up to this, just so I know what I'm dealing with.
Let the dummy hit you in the face. Like, swing it back and then just headbutt it or something. Let it punch you in the mouth.
You need to know what it's going to feel like, right, before you hop in.
Well, he does now, so he might be better prepared next time. Also, he needs better shorts that don't fall down.
He built up his immunity to punches, so he'll be, like, really good next time around.
God, he's so red compared to Wings.
Yeah, he really is. Who's older?
Oh, Boogie. Boogie's almost 50. Wings is, like, 32.
Oh, okay. 32?
No.
Wow.
Well, he's like, mid-30s, I'm guessing, as to what the exact age is, but he's mid-30s.
And yet, physically, they look the same.
They do.
Boogie looks like really good for his age. He really does.
Mm.
What? I can see that. What did you just say?
He looks good for his age. Like, he doesn't look 50.
I don't know. I don't know what you mean. Disagree. He really does.
Charlie means not in like his weight or physique, but in like
His appearance. Like, he doesn't look 50.
I get what Charlie's saying. Yeah. I could see it.
Like the actual face itself.
Yeah.
I feel like you think 50-year-olds look older than they actually look in real life.
I mean, he looks 50 to me. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. I think maybe in your head you're comparing him to like 70-year-olds, or you have very low expectations because it's Boogie and he should be dying or something.
I think something that aids Charlie's point is, and I don't know if it's because he dyes it or whatever, but he barely has gray hair. It's like in his beard, and even then, not really.
And since his teeth were all fucking rotted, he got like a brand new set of like really healthy looking teeth. Like, I just think overall he looks...
Dentures,
he
like old people,
50.
You mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Damn good point.
Veneers, I think is what they're
veneers,
called, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say he looks like he's... If I'm going to be, like, generous, like, 40s. Nothing below 40s. I won't go any lower.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not looking like a fucking 19-year-old boy or anything, but, like, he doesn't... He really, to me, doesn't look 50. Like, I think he looks...
Well, wait, that's because he's not 50. He's 48.
Okay. Now we're splitting hairs.
He's not 50 yet.
Now you're being pedantic.
I'm right. He's in his 40s.
I guess maybe the fat actually does make him look younger, because you look like more of a baby in the face. Like, you still have those full fat cheeks.
I don't know
about that. That's not exactly what I was thinking.
Well, it's like how if you look at Tammy Slayton, she looks like a giant toddler. That sort of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. I can see that, yeah.
Anyway, that was fun. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad it happened.
Me too. I'm glad that the entire fight fits into one clip that you can clip anywhere. You can literally just clip the entire fight into Discord. Yeah.
If you cut down to only the action and include the official weight announcements, it's still an under 2-minute fight.
Yeah.
Oh, and also including Boogie readjusting his pants. Like, regardless of how it played out and what was going on and all that, I am very glad this event happened. It was very nice.
Did you watch any of the other fights or only the Boogie one?
Just the Boogie and Wings one.
I didn't even know there were other fights at first.
There was one fight. It was Korn versus some other guy on Twitter. Korn's like a really big Twitter account. That fight got memed on really hard because, kind of like Boogie, it didn't seem like Korn trained at all. So the punches he was throwing actually looked kind of like what Boogie was doing. So he's been getting clowned on endlessly for it.
Oh no!
Yeah, the whole thing was kind of built up like a circus boxing match. So it was actually kind of interesting.
What do you mean a circus boxing match?
Like people that like very silly matchups that make no sense.
Oh, the
at
entire
all.
Event, right?
Yeah. The entire event was like that.
Well, yeah, that does seem like something that Keem would do. And to be fair, it does draw interest. Like I was interested in it.
It's entertaining. I mean, it is. Like, it's not good boxing by any means. It's not good fighting by any means. But goddamn, it's entertaining.
Yeah. I do like the whole boxing arc that YouTube is going through currently. It spices things up a little bit.
I hated it at first, but I've really grown to enjoy it a lot. Like, when people put effort into it, it's like actually exciting. And when they don't put effort into it, it's really entertaining still.
Yeah.
It's entertaining when they don't take themselves too seriously.
When they do, though, like, some of the fights have been like really good. Like, for example, a creator clash with Harley versus John Morrison. Like... Mm-hmm. Harley got blasted out of the ring. Like,
twice.
That shit was crazy.
Was that planned or anything? Was that like something that Harley planned?
He landed on the sound guy. Like, that guy was like mid-50s. Like, he could have actually just killed him.
I still remember after that happened, after I met you after all the events for the first time that day. I said, Charlie, you almost got killed by Harley, and the genuine look of terror on your face when I brought that back up.
No, it was actually super scary, because he fucking ragdolled him out of the ring onto the guy next to me.
How does that happen?
Because John Morrison's very strong.
And there's a 6'7" man doing a bunch of movement and foot shuffling and trying to dodge punches, and he gets hit and loses balance. It's that simple.
At least it wasn't boogie rolling down on you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, the ring would have collapsed at that point.
Would have been like the boulder in Indiana Jones. What else happened this week?
Well, do we want to save it for our bonus episode?
Yeah, we can do it in the bonus stuff tomorrow. Yeah, I think that was a good episode with a lot of interesting stuff. Zelda and Boogie talk. It's always a good combination.
I don't think we're going to top Wings versus Boogie this episode.
No, not at all. All right, we're going to wrap there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the official podcast bonus episodes at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast with stuff like Podophiles, the brand new show Kai and I are doing, where we delve into To Catch a Predator. Episode
by the way,
I wanted to say,
Google Voice says the transcription thing where somebody calls in and it transcribes their voicemail automatically. Unfortunately, Google doesn't know how to spell podophiles. So imagine my surprise when I woke up and I saw this transcription. It says, "Hey, I just wanted to say that I would actually pay for a bigger tier just for pedophiles." And then it continues and just praises our shout. It took me a second to he's talking about podophiles. Hopefully.
The name strikes again.
That's a great name.
It really is.
I'd pay an even higher tier if you guys called it We Are Pedophiles.
No, we are podophiles, goddammit.
Yeah, okay. We'll take it. I'll accept that one.
Wait, Kaya, did we have any kind of feedback on last week's question of the shitting? Just to put a bow on it.
You just got more support. I didn't even bother pulling any anymore. Jackson,
did you count?
Support. Dude, we had 65 new voicemails since last week, and they were pretty much all on your side. I've also noticed that we have a lot of squat shitters in our audience. People who...
What?
People who, if they're in a public toilet, they squat on top of the toilet lid, so only their feet touch the lid.
What?
They're basically doing an S2GRESS.
Oh, God, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck?
What is wrong with you? That's so weird.
Yeah,
even the naked shitter thinks that's weird. That's how weird that is.
Yeah, you even have Jackson, the naked shitter, thinking it's weird. That's
well, in a public toilet, that's how you avoid your ass touching it.
But the foot on the... toilet bowl?
Yeah, but you're crouched over like a gargoyle on the actual toilet seat?
Yeah, I
don't understand the physics of
this.
No,
Christ.
It can't be that. That makes no physical sense.
No,
they have to be just squatting over the bowl. Which would make
it has to be hover shitting. It's hover shitting, for sure.
No,
you don't put your legs
okay,
on the
on.
Bowl. You'd be shitting on the top of the fucking where the plunger is or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and that's also that's the deepest squat of all time. There's no way.
What do you mean? People can squat like that.
Not it's comfortably not impossible... and not with perfect balance while shitting. You just
Isn't
risk
that how
like
the
falling
Japanese
in.
Shit?
Not, but that's...
They hover.
What?
What?
That's not the
they
same.
They hover over the floor. That's different.
How is that different than
on...
hovering over the toilet? You're still standing on something. You're not flying.
You're not
what
balancing.
Room to stand on. As well.
Yeah, like on a Japanese toilet, like you are crouching over the floor, like the toilet, which is...
It's not going to be that hard to balance on a toilet seat. It's not wobbling, hopefully. Like, let me just...
How would it not
one,
be?
I
it's
go try it, Kai. I'm interested.
Yeah,
take
I'm
Take a
very...
picture of you trying on the... Not, don't get naked or anything, because we might put it in the episode. Go squat
hang
on your
on,
toilet.
On.
Have your Where's have your wife button? Take a photo of it.
Like I'm perched like a fucking bird on
like
the
there's
toilet.
A big
that's
difference
what I'm
between
for. That's what you're saying.
That's there's a big
it's
difference
not what
between
I'm saying a fucking retard. It's a voicemail. Okay, everybody shut up.
Hi, I'm leaving a message regarding your most recent episode where you were speaking to Jackson about shitting naked. I'm actually a squat shitter. I like to take my pants fully off and squat down on the seat and shit like that. It's so much better. Your asshole's completely open. It's everything falls right out. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much for your time.
That's not... He didn't say anything about putting his legs on the toilet bowl.
He didn't mention anything like putting his legs on the toilet seat.
What he says, I squat down on the seat.
Like over it, he means. Like his asshole is just hovering
like
over
he's,
it.
Like, it's hover shitting.
Pants fully off and squat down on the seat.
You're thinking of like he puts his legs. You think it's like the way you're describing
it. And analyze it.
Okay, feet on the toilet bowl is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's weird. That's super weird.
No one would do that.
In that picture that someone just posted in the chat, I don't know if we can get this up on the podcast in any way, but it's basically a diagram of all the different ways.
I'm thinking figure 5 and 6 is what I thought.
Yeah, no,
meant.
What the fuck?
No. No one does that. There's no shot. Like, that is an extremely hard squat in general.
I have literally
you've done
seen...
That?
What?
I thought you were going to say you've done that.
Yeah, I thought
no,
you were
but
saying,
I have been in
that.
Toilets. I have been in toilets where they had the no squat shitting sign with the number 6 there, the number 6 figure crossed out, saying "Don't do this."
That's gonna be a meme, right?
No,
or a joke.
People do this.
Who?
I don't know. People.
What the fuck?
I don't know. It is a thing. Why are you attacking me like I do this? I'm just saying it is a thing people do.
Well,
some
then
people.
Wait. Is it like a? Is it a cultural thing? Is it like a Turkish thing?
I don't know. I mean, Turks also have squat shit toilets. Yeah.
There's a difference between a squat shit toilet and a normal toilet that you squat shit on like that. Like,
Yeah.
They're not
built
for that.
I would understand if... What do you mean not built for it? It's still... The toilet isn't like on a one wheel.
Look, do you... Kaya, the point... The thing you're talking about is in a meme picture where 9 and 0, the person's literally in the toilet bowl. He's sitting in there. So I don't think it's something that's meant to be like a serious... pose
okay,
that you're meant to do
again,
while shitting.
I didn't post that photo. I don't care.
But still, it's in
the
there.
Rest of it fits. I don't know why you're giving me shit like I came up with this.
Because well, you're the
I'm
one defending
saying,
this.
It is a thing that I have heard of. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it happens. It exists. Just like I'm not defending murder, but murder happens. It's a thing that people do.
Okay,
what do
wait.
You mean?
So, what do you mean people? How common is it? That's what I'm arguing. I don't think it's common at all.
I don't fucking know. I'm just saying it's a thing. You guys said no one has ever done this ever. I'm telling
right, well,
you,
one
no one actively
does this.
No one actively does it. There, I'll rephrase. Nobody does that actively.
Or one person does it, or two, maybe. It's like such
no,
a rarity.
Not even. I don't think.
Okay, call in, I guess, if you're a squat shitter, but squatting on the toilet bowl with your feet planted
like
on the
feet
toilet
on
bowl.
It. Yeah, yes. Up on the bowl.
I actually
well, nothing
to
touching the ground.
Thing. Because I'm curious now. I want to know if this is really a thing. 404-913-3858. Or if you know anybody who does
wait,
this.
No, but the people are just going to call and say that they do that
yeah,
just
exactly.
for the meme.
Oh my god, now you're coping like Charlie coped last week.
Oh yeah, true.
About
well,
you
it's,
being
the,
right.
it's just the fucking truth. What do you mean?
I don't know.
Use
you
your full
just
name so that it's applied to your full name and then maybe they won't get... Wait, oh, someone posted a Freely the Banana just... Girl video and she is doing that. Maybe it's a vegan thing.
It makes sense if you're like a woman, I guess. If you can't squat that deep. I mean, women have an easier time with their flexibility. It's an easy squat for them. And if you can do it, why not?
I usually piss when I shit as well, though. So it's, that shit would be flying everywhere, right?
Well, yeah, like, most people
yeah,
piss when they
true.
Shit.
That would go everywhere. Huh.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever in my life taken a shit without pissing as well.
I don't think it's physically possible, right?
It's difficult. Maybe achievable with practice, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why would you practice that?
Especially if I was a girl, like Freely the Banana Girl in that pose, like she's squatting over, I could see how the shit would go in the bowl, but that piss is going to be spraying all over the cubicle, right?
Yeah.
Not pointed downwards.
All over the cubicle? Yeah, do you shit in your office?
Well, there's still cubicles.
Yeah, what? That,
oh,
what are they called?
Oh. I still thought we were talking about, like, just in home. I forgot could be referring to public bathrooms with their little stall. Yeah, okay.
You have a cubicle?
I thought you meant, like, in the office cubicle. Like, she was spraying piss everywhere.
You think I have an office cubicle at home?
Yeah, with a toilet.
I didn't think this would be so controversial, but yeah. The
you didn't think that would be controversial?
No, I guess I didn't. I mean, you guy, call in again, you the squat shitter that called in, clarify. You whose number ends in 2320, call in again, tell us what you meant. Do you hover shit or do you actually squat on top of the toilet? No, we need to know. Thank
he's
you.
He hover shits, no doubt in my mind. There's one that would be squatting on that, especially not a man. Because like you mentioned, like the piss physics don't make any sense.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It would be easier for a man to piss straight down than for a woman? If your dick is
it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we can easier aim than it. A woman, we can but aim it still it just doesn't make it easy. Like, it still doesn't check
out.
Yeah,
it wouldn't make it easy. I mean, yeah, that squat isn't comfortable unless you've been trained for a while.
Trained by a professional okay,
fitness
shitter.
Goals.
I don't know why shitting is so controversial on our show, but I guess there's
we're going through our shit arc at the moment.
This is something we talked about a long time ago. The bathroom, like potty time, is the only time where you pretty much like figure things out on your own. So everyone cooks up the wackiest fucking ideas and the ways that they like relieve themselves. It's
is that true?
I mean, think about it. Like, do you emulate your parents' shitting and pissing techniques? Do your
no,
parents
but I'm sure
fully?
They told me when I was younger how to like operate
they have
the
to
toilet.
Teach you.
Maybe, but you still at the end of the day do it by yourself like the entire
so
time.
So you develop
you're growing
your own
up.
Habits.
Yeah, you develop
but then,
your own.
That doesn't
techniques.
Make sense how like 99% of us shit the same way. Just
well, there's only so many different ways of approaching it. You're not going to have someone like, you know, an upside down shitter or something.
Well,
there's
why,
only just
all right, maybe yeah, not upside down, but why doesn't anyone like face the wall and shit? Like sit the other way around.
They probably
like,
look at
straddle it.
Go back to Exhibit A again. That is one of them on the graph on the chart.
Oh yeah, true. Number 3.
So there might be
sitting over the toilet
through
the
like
reverse cowgirl.
Trial and error. People just come to the conclusion for the most optimal way of shitting, the normal way, naked.
That's, yeah, exactly.
It's so stupid.
Okay. Well, thanks. See you next week. Call in
yeah, that was a long outro. That was a very long outro. Patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.